Thank you for joining Asia's best radio station.
www.ballyballyradio.co.uk brings you the latest Bollywood news,
updates and film promos.
Download latest podcasts of Carry On Harry Show
on iTunes.
Like birds on a high line, they line up at night time at the bar. Hey, what's for lovebirds? And bluebirds are all that they are. They landed in hell the minute they fell from love's sky.
Hello?
Hi, sir. Good evening from Singapore.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay, it's pleasure for me, Mr. C.P. Kelly, to bring you over to my talk show. I don't have actually words to introduce you, because after reading your biography and about your music and the contribution that you're doing to the society, I think it's very, very touching, sir. So, in a formal way, I'm just welcoming you. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing just great. Thank you.
Fine, sir.
How are things in Singapore?
In Singapore, it's quite early in the morning, and I was going through your details and came to lots of things which I will be discussing with you today.
Okay.
Okay, sir. Let's begin from something from your childhood. How did you actually got into music, and what inspired you to be a musician of your caliber?
I joined a 5th grade middle school band. For some reason, I wanted to learn to play the saxophone, which is, you know, not normally a goal for most kids. But I got into my 5th grade middle school band, and it started from there. I was in choir when I was in 5th grade, and I was in choir all the way through about my last year of junior high. And over the years, just learned more instruments as my music teachers needed them brought in, and it just went from there.
Okay. And was there any kind of environmental influence or any family influence about music being based in Florida?
Oh, well, I mean, my dad, you know, I grew up around old country. Ray Price, Charlie Pride, you know, Charlie Rich, all of the great legends. And my mother raised me around Motown and rock and roll.
Okay.
So I had a love for both of those as a child.
Okay. Any specific reason that that draw you towards country music style of singing?
I enjoy the sound that country has today.
Okay.
It's not your granddad's, oh, my dog got shot, my wife ran off kind of country. The women are a lot more stronger, more powerful in their songs. They're more independent. And the guys are, you know, letting loose. They join themselves and having a good time. And if she walks out, there's always a replacement, you know, and not going to stress it or fret it or cry about it. It has a really good sound to it these days.
Okay.
And I really want to get in and become a part of it, get involved.
Yeah. While I was doing some research about you, you have been associated with various kind of music, from piano to saxophone to lots of other things associated about, you know, playing the instruments. Then suddenly you switched on towards getting into vocal. Any specific reason from turning from a musician to a musician plus vocalist?
Well, when I was diagnosed with progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy in October 2010, I lost the ability to be able to translate what I was reading for the notes to make my fingers play the same thing. I just completely and totally forgot how to play piano. So I'd been singing for years, and my dad took me to a local restaurant bar that had a karaoke set up.
Okay.
He had never heard me sing. They called me up. He had his back to me. song started, I started singing. He leaned over to my mother and he said, "Is that Patrick?" Mm-hmm. And my mother said, "Yes." And he said, "Oh my God, he can't sing." And it's just grown from there.
Okay, in a way, it gave a feeling of hope to the family that after being diagnosed with a serious medical condition which made you forget almost everything about music, and suddenly it was the music which brought something back into your life, into your soul. It touched your soul in such a way that, you know, everything began to pick up from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, music affects everybody. With me, it affects me a lot more because if I'm listening to upbeat, happy music, you know I'm having a great day. If I'm listening to down, depressing music, you know I'm having a bad day emotionally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, health-wise, I'm in excellent shape.
That's very good. That's very
good. Yes, it is.
Very good to know about
it. Because
I was
24 to 48 hours away from death when I went into the hospital in October 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm up, I'm performing in front of people, I crack jokes during musical breaks, I really get the audience involved. And that, for me, just fills me with a joy that no one can understand.
Correct. So during that particular phase, when you were going through that diagnosis phase and, you know, the symptoms just took over about it, we know that your fans and your family was really knowing about what's happening in your life. On personal side, were you also aware about the changes that were taking place in your personality? Did you realize it, or you came to know about all those changes today after you have recovered from it?
Oh, at the time I was very aware, and I went to a couple of doctors, and nobody could find out what was going on. Nobody ordered an MRI. I was getting very scared. I was getting very, very confused. I was short-tempered because I was not sleeping much, and no one could find out what was going on. So, yeah, there were a lot of personality changes as I was growing sicker and sicker.
Okay. And during that phase, were you still, in a way, involved in making your kind of music, or were you totally detached from it?
I'm sorry.
What I mean to say is, while the progression stages of the medical condition, were you still involved with music in some way? You were trying to, you know, get it back into your life, or was it just slipping away from you totally?
I really hadn't done anything with music over about the past 5 or 6 years. I would go to karaoke every so often. But as for sitting down and playing piano, I would from time to time, because I had an electric keyboard here.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a focal part of my life, and it should have been. And once I got into singing, I realized how much I missed singing and performing.
Okay. We know that you have gone through this kind of a situation. This situation, did it influence the kind of music that you started producing like in the post stages, especially when it comes to, you know, getting your emotions across through your music and vocal?
I like to do a lot of songs that reflect my life, the good and the bad. My single I have out now, A New Way to Fly.
Yep.
If you listen to the words very closely, I have lived that life. I have gone into a bar and drowned my sorrows sitting at the bar on a lost love or a bad fight, you know, and it's a stupid way to live. But the song really hit me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Were you involved in the lyrical writing of the song also, A New Way to Fly?
Oh, no, sir. That was written by Garth Brooks and Kim Williams. Garth Brooks originally recorded it, released it on his No Fences album. Then when he did a reissue of the album, he had the song removed because he felt it didn't go with the feel he was trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
and it was just sitting on the shelf, and I was able to acquire the recording rights.
Okay. Any specific reason that you went on to get the recording rights for A New Way to Fly?
Is there any specific reason?
Yeah, means did you feel like that it's something which is very close to your reflection of your life, and at the same time was also a kind of inspiration for others once it comes out into the market?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. At the end of the song, it is very inspirational for people to stop and take a look at what they're doing. That it does not pay to go out, sit at a bar, pay a bartender, throw all that money out the window when all you're going to do is wake up the next morning and feel the same way. You have to move forward. You cannot look behind you, and that's been a hard lesson for me to learn. And another reason I wanted to do A New Way to Fly is because that was one of the first songs I ever did at karaoke. The first time I ever did karaoke.
Very good about it, sir. Another thing, sir, which I have analyzed after speaking to you and after reading about you is that the big success that came with A New Way to Fly, I think the audience very well related to not just the lyrical part of the story and not just the vocal side of the vocal qualities of yours, but also in a way it became an instant hit. A reason being that they saw the honesty of your music and your vocal into that song. What is your take on that?
You know, if they're picking up the emotional investment that I am putting into the song, then that means I did the song well. Because I did. I dug into my memories that I have. I dug deep into my heart, and I put every bit of emotion into that song, shy of crying.
Correct.
It's very important that I feel the song, whether I've lived it or not, that I feel it, I understand its words, I can, visualize a movie in my head when I read the words and sing them.
I think that's a very valid point and is a very constructive statement for all those listeners, who will be pursuing their career into, not just into the singing or any profession. Means unless you are honest to your art, unless you are honest in your vision, that authenticity of originality cannot come into your work. I think, sir, that statement really touched me in that way also. It's a very, very inspiring moment for me and definitely for my listeners as well. Sir, I want to know that you are also connected with lots of charities. Tell us something about means you are contributing a lot of profits of your music into charity work and all. Any specific reason, especially when you're doing it for the kids?
You know, it's all about helping your fellow man. It's all about if you can do something, then do it. Help them. Even if you don't have talent, if you're there at a charity event and you're serving drinks or waiting on tables or picking up you're still contributing to some cause.
Correct.
And I'm somebody who believes in pay it forward. As soon as I hit it, and I'm going to hit it big, I can assure you, the first thing I'm doing is I'm paying off my parents' house, setting them up with enough money to where they can have their golden years. They can retire and not worry about anything. Then I'm purchasing myself a small home. I don't need 38,000 square feet or anything like that. I'd get lost in it. It just needs to be big enough for me and my dog. Then after that, invest. And then the money that is left, go out and help those that have nowhere else to turn. They have exhausted every avenue of help.
Such a positive.
Because you have to give back. You cannot take from this world and not give back.
absolutely right. So such a positive word coming from you, it's really, you know, touching not just my heart but my soul also, that our basic aim should be not just the materialistic success for ourselves, but also we have a moral responsibility to contribute something that we can afford to for others as well. Thank you so much about your views about the charity works that you are involved with. Coming back to your musical side, you have just released a new album of yours, Absolute Redemption. Tell us something about it.
Absolute Redemption is, we've got 7 other songs that we're going to add to the album. We may make some changes because I want it to be able to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be able to go from start to finish and basically tell an entire story through music.
Mm-hmm.
So there are probably going to be some song changes from what we have on the lineup right now. I've actually sat down and have started writing
mm-hmm.
the words to the song that the album, Absolute Redemption. One of the songs is, and it'll probably be the last one on the album, is called Absolute Redemption, and I have started writing the words on it. And I'm basing it from the time I was diagnosed with my illness to how far I have come.
Correct.
And how I'm going to continue to move forward and move up. And, you know, anytime anyone needs help, if I've got the money and I can help, I will do so.
Right, sir. Anything new that you're trying in Absolute Redemption?
Not really. No, nothing real new. Right now, the music track part of it, I've got to have it re-recorded. I like the beat of it. I like the sound that it has because it starts out very mellow sounding, you know, kind of down. And then towards the end of it, it gets a real positive sound to it. Like, things are getting better, you know, the sun is breaking out behind the clouds, I'm digging my way, you know, that things will always get better. Just when you think that they are at their worst, they will get better. You just have to have faith.
I think the theme of your upcoming album, Absolute Redemption, is really worth enough for anybody who is looking for an inspiration in life. Sir, we had a very wonderful interaction with you. I really don't want to end up the conversation, but we have time constraints as well. I would like to offer the platform of Karen Harry Talk Show to all your fans and all those new fans who will be joining you after listening to this talk show with C.P. Kelly. So, any message that you would like to give to the fans or society?
All I can say is, if you have a dream, pursue it. The only thing that will keep you from accomplishing the dream is you. If you have faith, you can do it. No one can stop you. No one can interfere. And nothing is too stupid. You know, if a small child is listening and they want to be an astronaut, go for it. Or a fireman, or a police officer, you know, or a movie actor, or a singer. Go for it. You can't lose if you don't try. And you can't win if you don't try.
Correct, sir. Absolutely right, sir. You gave a very worthwhile message, you know, to start for me also, my very good morning from Singapore, and the wise word coming from Florida. I'm really touched with whatever you have shared with us today, sir. On that note, I wish you all the best for your upcoming album, Absolute Redemption, and I just hope that you keep on inspiring people with your work, with your music. It's my pleasure, sir, to have you on my platform. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, thank you so much for asking me, and I will make sure that when I go on tour, Singapore is going to be one of the places I come to.
Thank you, sir.
And we will have to meet.
Definitely, sir.
Alright.
Yes, sir. Sure, sir.
Well,
okay. All the best to you,
thank
sir.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Like birds on a high line, they line up at night time at the bar. Hey, once were lovebirds, and bluebirds are all that they are. They landed in hell the minute they fell from love's sky.
Thank you for being in tune with Bollywood's best talk show, Carry On Harry, with entertainment editor Harry Johel. On BalaBalaRadio.co.uk. Inviting music composers, producers, artists on board on Carry On Harry Talk Show for connecting you to worldwide audience. Write to Harry Johal at carryonharry.com or visit www.carryonharry.com for more details.